Talk about the old pig pen today. One thing that brings a smile to Larry's face, we start talking about pigs. He's just sitting there smiling already. Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. One of the things, I guess, as a Christian, we would think, excuse me, that we would think that if we could just do, if we could just walk with Jesus. And you know, in the beginning, it says it right there, that we walked with God. What an amazing thing. Can you imagine what the apostles felt like? Can you imagine what Adam and Eve, when we got a kitten, and the kitten is starting to grow and starting to develop the world around them. And the world around that's this cat is the four walls that we live in. She doesn't know anything else. These people, Adam and Eve, when they walked with God, they didn't know anything else. They walked with God. Could you imagine doing that? That had to have been amazing. And when you would think that somebody who walked with God, somebody that was that close, that there was no sin, right? And when they walked with God, you would think that they would be able to make the best decisions. Judas had the best teacher, but yet he made the worst decision. You see, we know it from the old analogy. You can't bring a horse, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can give someone everything, but if they do nothing with it, they will accomplish nothing. Okay? So walking with God has to be something that you would be interested in. Going on vacation has to be something that you're interested in. Where you're going has to be something you're interested in. You have to be interested in the food that you order. Nobody goes to a restaurant and orders something they don't like unless they're on a diet and they find out that that's only going to last for, what, an hour? Because you eat what you don't want, you're not satisfied, you're still hungry, and you're going to do something that you're not supposed to do. But Adam and Eve walked with God, and that is amazing to me. Genesis 2:15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." One of the things that we look at in our life today is we think, if we just knew what God wanted us to do. I got this job, I got this house, the marriage, no marriage, this car. Should I say something to somebody? Should I remain silent? What do you want me to do, God? You know what? We had the Word of God, knowing His will. Adam and Eve knew what God expected. God took Adam and said, "Here's the garden. Take care of it." Took the man, put him in the garden to tend and to keep it. So I don't know what tending meant. I should have looked up that word, but to tinker around, to clean up, to maybe pick up fruit. I don't know. He took care of the garden, okay? He had something to do. God told him, "I want you to do this." He said it before him, and it's like, "Oh, okay, so this is what God wants me to do." We knew what His will was. We had the Word of God. Everything that we heard from another individual outside of Adam and Eve came from God. His wisdom, His words filled our minds. It enlightened our hearts. It motivated us. And He told us, "I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I don't want you to do this." He did tell us there's something He didn't want us to do, right? He motivated us. "Let's do this. Let's do this." So in the beginning, we had the Word of God. And we walked with God. Genesis 3:1 through 3. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" So when somebody says, "Well, what does God say about this? Did God really say that Jesus raised from the dead? Did God really say that Jesus was His Son? Did the Word of God really say that Jesus was God on earth?" Right? All these questions. She knew the answer. She knew, she said, He asks, he says, did God say this? Does Scripture say this? Does the Bible say this? And she said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So when somebody said, what did God say about this? You know what? You could tell them. This is what God said, right? I walk with God. I talk with God. He gives me His Word every day. I know what He needs, wants from me. I know what He expects from me. I know what He said, and I know what I'm going to do, right? What an amazing thing. Wouldn't you like that kind of knowledge? Because see, now we're not really sure. The whole point when we have Sunday school and we ask questions and we study is because we don't know. We don't know the answer. We're not sure. We don't want to run down a rabbit path. We don't want to take one verse and say, okay, so if God said this, then it's this. We flip-flop back and forth like flipping a light on and off or opening and closing a door. We just go back and forth because we're not really sure. They were sure. And you know what else about this? There was no sin in the world. There was no death. These people walked with God, knew what He wanted. There was no sin. They had not disobeyed God, and there was no death. What an amazing setup. That's what we would like to go back to, wouldn't we? Do you know there's songs? I think it's the Woodstock song. You know, I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road. And it gets to a point in the song where it says, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, right? This is what people are looking for. They're looking for this type of understanding and this type of relationship with God. But we've gone past the garden. We've jumped out of the garden. Genesis 3:4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Guess what? Then came temptation, right? It came in the form of a serpent. Now see, evidently, the serpent didn't look like it was vicious. But when we look at a serpent today, a viper, a pit of vipers and stuff today, we now see what they look like. But she didn't. Right? She didn't. Then came temptation. There was no sin. We walked with God. We knew His will. Then came temptation. And then something happened. We talked with the devil. See, before we were only talking with God, right? Right? He walked with him. He talked with him. All we ever heard was the Word of God. Then all of a sudden, we started talking with the devil. Changed everything. Temptation started coming into the picture. And guess what we did? We jumped right into the pig pen. And we just ate all that was being shoveled towards us, right? It's like denominationalism. They shove all these false things at you. And the farmer's happy feeding the pigs. And the pig's just happy getting something to eat and wallowing around in the mud, right? Just having a good old time. Everything was great. Everything we would have considered perfect. But it obviously wasn't perfect because there was a fall. And God said it was good. If you look up that word, like I think we've said before, it's not perfection. There's a word for perfect. That was not it. But it was good. It was a good setup. You know why it was a good setup? Because God didn't put shackles and chains on us the way the devil does. It was a good setup because God gave us a choice. That's why it was a good setup. We could exercise our free will. As a free society, isn't that what we want? Or do we want to go under the bondage of anarchy, communism, socialism? Do we want to go under those bonds? No, we want free choice, free will. That's why it was a good setup. God gave us a choice. And we took that choice and we jumped into the pig pen. You see, if we could just go back to the beginning, would you choose differently? Yeah, that's what we say, right? We would choose differently. Because see, we saw and we knew. But see, you got to understand, this is one thing. We know the viper is dangerous. We know the viper is ugly and hideous. She didn't know that. He didn't know that. They couldn't see that until they're where we're at, because their eyes were opened, right? They were given a choice. We give our kids choices all the time. They don't understand the repercussions of their decisions. We do. You know why? Because we made them. We know what it feels like. We don't want them to be there. They don't understand. Just like they didn't see that the viper was dangerous. So we're basing our thoughts on being on this side and playing the Monday morning quarterback, saying, well, he should have never thrown that pass. Well, you know what? He didn't know the outcome of that pass until he threw it. And now that we know the outcome, we can certainly say, well, you shouldn't have done that. We look back and say, you shouldn't have done that. If I'd have been there, I'd have done something different. Right? That's what we think. If we could just get back to the garden, if we could get back into that state, we would make better choices. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Guess what happened? Jesus said, okay, you want to make a better decision. You now see that you were wrong. You see the difference between a lie and the truth. He said, so now I'm going to give you a second chance. Do you know what he does? He puts us back in the garden. I'll show you. Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if you back up, if you back up a couple verses in there, the context of how you get that Spirit of Christ and how you become belong to Him is immersion. He says that if you're not immersed, you don't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Him. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. We now again walk with God. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So now each step that we take, right, God is with us. We go over here, guess where God is, right? We go over here, and guess where God is? See, in the garden, we even have it better then, because see, they heard God walking, and they hid, right? And so, if I know I do wrong, and I go over here, and I'm trying to hide for God, where's God? He's not over there, He's right here, right? We're walking with God again. See, Jesus, the idea of be careful what you ask for, we think we would have made a better decision. Jesus believes that true. Believes that too. He believes that to be true. So He gave us a choice. He brought that choice back to us. He said, now knowing what you know, why would God do that? Why would God say, I told you so, and then it happened? He had every right to say, I'm done with you. But what an amazing God we serve, because now He looks at you and says, okay, now you know who was right and who was wrong. So I'm going to bring back to you that choice. I can't even fathom that. I'm trying to understand the difference between a man with his children and a woman with his children. When the kids do wrong or they get out there, a man thinks of it as like, is like, okay, if I continue to help to reward this behavior or continue to support this, it's not going to be in his best interest. He's not going to be able to accomplish the task that was given to him, being a man or a woman. They're going to fall. But when you talk to a woman, you know what she says? It doesn't matter to me. Right? It doesn't matter to me. Probably did. So, we're given a choice again. We're given a choice again. God walks with us, and just like a child, that where you have mercy that's complete, mercy that is forgiving, like the woman, and a mercy that is where He says, those that I love, I chastise, I chasten. You have the love of the Father. You have the complete work of love, the punishing love, the condemning love, the get out of this sin love, I'm there for you, love. You've got this complete picture, right? And He's brought this choice back to us. And we walk with God, and He's done this for us. And I can't believe it. When you actually think about it, I can't believe that He said, okay, now that you have screwed up everything, and you even cost me my life, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to give you a choice. John 1:1, and I had to skip to 14. I mean, you could read it all, but I have time or place for all that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Excuse me. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, this Word that was with God, was God, did all these things, the breath of life that was given, the whole complete mercy of God came to us. And in verse 14 it says, and that Word, that complete mercy, that the Spirit that gave life, the Word that created, the God that created, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only glory, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guess what? We now have the Word of God again. Knowing His will, we have the Word of God again. In the beginning, right, Adam and Eve walked with God, and they talked with God, and they said these things. And then they started listening to the devil. And then they had the devil's word, and they had God's word. And they jumped into the pig pen. And we say, if we could just go back. Well, now we walk with God again, and we also have His Word. We know His will, right? It's called Scripture. It's the Bible that was given to us. And we're like, well, you know, I don't really know what He says. Why? You don't read, you don't spend time, you don't understand. What's the problem? We have the Word of God again. We walk with God again. Remember, this is what we wanted. We said if we were in that state, if we could be put back there, we would fix it. We'd make amends. We wouldn't make the same mistakes. Romans 6, 5 through 9. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over us. So in the beginning we said there was no sin, there was no death. Guess what? Now again there is no sin, there is no death. What is our problem? What's going on? We can look at the situation when Adam and Eve walked with God. They talked with God, and they knew what He wanted. And when someone questioned them, when the devil came and questioned them, they gave the answer. Somebody came and questioned you. You gave the answer. You knew. This is what we wanted. This is what we thought would fix the problem. How come we still have it messed up? There was no more death. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. And when I read that, I thought, wait a minute. I thought I repented. What does God granting me repentance mean? What is He talking about here? And so if you take that word repentance, and it's a very lengthy word, because you take it and you look under the Greek, and Strong's breaks it down. It's a very lengthy word. And it starts off like this, and then it begins to break off. What it does is it begins to break off into someone who is unrepentant and somebody who is repentant. Somebody that God accepts their gift of repentance and somebody that God doesn't accept. The person that doesn't accept the repentance, it comes down to where they're a walking ball of wax. Okay, if you trace the word all the way down, when God doesn't accept your repentance, dead man walking. And not just dead man walking, walking ball of wax. There's no hope, there's no feeling, there's no life. But on the flip side, you know what it does, that repentance does? When God truly grants you repentance, on that flip side, you know what it does? The Bible says, it doesn't just forgive us of our sins. It takes us back to a state where we had never sinned. If you want to take the time, turn to 2 Timothy 2:25, get out your concordance, and trace it down. Trace it down. It'll take you a little while. It's a little boring if you're not into word studies, but I'm telling you the end result. We are in a state being forgiven by God where we had never sinned. That's where He put us back to. That's what He's done with our repentance, with our immersion, the Holy Spirit living in us, walking with us, the Word of God that we have, and death no longer has dominion over us. He's put us in a state where there's no death. And you say, well, wait, I got this flesh. I got this flesh. You know what? Eve didn't have this that we have. The Bible says that the first Adam, the second Adam, Adam and Eve were able to talk with the serpent, see the serpent. That's a little different for us. But you say, I got this flesh. I just can't overcome it. Well, you know what? Eve had the serpent. You see, for everything, God put an equalizer here. He balanced it out, right? They had no sin. They had no death. He's put us back there. We have the flesh that we have to fight with. Eve had the snake that she had to fight with. They walked with God and saw Him. We walk with God not by sight, and we see Him through His Word. You see, for everything that we wanted to get back to in the garden, God has put it back there now. And that's amazing to me. Because if I would have been, and my question was, why did they do this? Why did they make the choice that they made? Why did they do that? Yeah, they were young. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, God has given us, on this side, He says in the garden, take away the tree of life, because now look at what they've become, and they are like us, seeing both good and evil, and if they reach out their hand and take from the tree of life, they would live forever. God gives us the benefits of seeing the things the way He sees it. Evil and good. And He tells us, that when we see that as bad, Christ crucified those things in the flesh. And why did Adam and Eve make the decision they did? For the same reason that I can't say no to some things. If I want to look and see why they didn't do it, I have every option. I have every availability that they had, even one better, because now I see through the eyes of God, through the eyes of His Son, through the Word of God that tells us this was bad, this was good. And I see the outcome of those decisions, and God says, okay, so I'm going to give you a second chance. Eve and Adam did not say no for the same reason that I didn't, the same reason that you didn't. And you think, well, I say no, right? See, Jesus said that those who have been, He's talking about this table, He says that the water and the blood and all this, and I think it was Peter that said, well, then, Lord, wash me clean. And He says, those that have been cleansed, when they come around this table, He says, they only have to rinse off their feet. He's showing us how much He's overcome. He's showing us that we still find ourselves entangled. And even today, after how many times that He has told us, after how many times that He's shown us, after how many times that we've read, we still find ourselves back around this table. And we look, and if there was anybody here that when they were taking communion that didn't think they needed it this week? Is there anybody here that felt like that, whew, this is one for the books, God. I was about as good as I was going to get. If there was a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and brother, I'd be in the brother this week. Right? Has anybody felt that way? See, we know different. We know different. Same thing with us. Then along came temptation. Just like with Adam and Eve, we talked with the devil. And now what choice will we make? You see, when we started out this process, when we looked at the Garden of Eden and we thought if we could just get back to the garden, if we could get back to that state, I showed you that God has put us back in that state. And we were very confident in the beginning that we would make the right choices. But you know where we find ourselves? We jump right back into the pig pen. Look how happy everybody is. Right? It's easier living in the pig pen. Some will call this the hogs and the dogs, where the reference is that Jesus says that the pig returns to the squalor and the dog eats its own vomit. That's what he sees us doing. When we have every advantage, like Adam and Eve did, we walk with God, we know His will, we're given a choice, there's no death, we live. You know, the saying, you only live once, that's wrong. You only die once. You live forever, but you only die once. We know all of this. We know that there's eternal life, and yet we find ourselves in a pig pen all the time. It blows my mind. In the beginning, I can kind of understand, looking at it, that they just didn't know. They didn't know evil. They only knew good. So then once they became knew evil, they jumped into the pig pen. And you know what God did? He reached down and He brought us out of the pig pen and He cleaned us off. He polished us up, put on new clothes. And you know what we did? We jumped right back in. Now, if you have an answer as to why we did that, please tell me. Because I don't have an answer why I'm not smart enough, why I'm not strong enough to do the right thing. The Bible says, Scripture says that there's no lie, no truth is of any lie. And so when you ask yourself, who made you lie, right? We said, I'm not a bad person. I didn't break God's laws. One of the things that He says is, do not lie. Who made you lie? Nobody did. I did. I can't blame the flesh. I can't blame the devil. You know why? Because God gave me a choice. And He says, you're going to answer for that choice. And an amazing thing to me, I think I've said this before, maybe not, is that in the garden, when this happened, He questioned the man. He questioned the woman. He didn't question the snake. But they all got punished. The man blamed the woman. The woman blamed the snake. It didn't matter. But God has once again returned that choice to us. Now we're back in the garden. Now we're walking with Him. Now we know His will. What are we going to do? You're going to find plenty of people that will be really happy to sling slop at you, right? To keep you in that pig pen. You know why? Because they benefit from it. They enjoy seeing that. They don't want you to excel. There's plenty of people that are just happy slinging you slop. So if you're looking for God to make this an easy choice, He's not going to. Yeah. Right. Misery loves company. Right. Misery loves company. I mean, we don't want to be alone in the pig pen. We're in the pig pen. We can't feed ourselves. We got to have somebody give us something. But God took us out of the pig pen, cleaned us up. And we jumped right back in. They assured us, Peter assured us on the day of Pentecost that we had been forgiven and that the choices that we had made, that we were brought back, that we had killed the one that had come to save us, and he told us, repent and be baptized. See, the very first word in the step that we have is repent. And our act of repentance is that immersion. And when that immersion happens, He's cleaned us up. He's taken us out of the pig pen. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We walk with Him. And we start learning the Word of God. The early church only knew who Jesus was and how to be saved. They had the Old Testament scriptures to prove who Jesus was. And the apostles' doctrine started building the foundation of the church, which aligned with the apostles' teaching and which aligned with the prophets' teaching and then aligned with their teaching. And Jesus Christ was the common denominator. The law was looking for Him to come. The church said, now He's come. So we lay this foundation. And they've assured us that we have been cleansed and we walk with God and we learn, we grow. The church learned, they grew. We're not an infant church anymore. You know how we know? The Bible says that prophecy and tongues was childish things, but when the perfect had come, that they did away with that. And that's Scripture. That's Scripture because we have the beginning of the revelation of God to the end of the revelation of God. People will say, no, that's talking about when the perfect comes, that's Jesus. Well, you know, if you read on, it says, thus abides faith, hope, and love. Faith is evidence of things not seen. If we're looking at Jesus, then there is no faith. There's proof. There's the end. There's the judgment. So it's not talking about that. The perfect that had come. What's prophecy now compared to the complete revelation of God? He even told us that we knew in part and we prophesied in part. We didn't know the whole picture. But now we have the complete picture. What do we have? We have the knowledge of the will of God. We walk with God. We're back in the garden. There's no death. I do not die. And what happens? We put ourselves right back in the pig pen. But thank God we have someone who is merciful and reaches out and gives us that choice again. So what's going to be your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?